Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be featuring our summer read. This is the absolute best series. We're on the second book of the series. And last summer, we talked about Michelle's first book. Today, we'll be speaking about her second. This Happened to Jessica, and it's a Secrets of Redemption novel, Michelle Pariza-Wasek. And it's in a series. We'll be looking forward to the third book real soon. What I really wanted to share about our summer reads is that it's something that you feel in life that it makes your life a little lighter. It says, I'm engaged in that. I'd like to find out more. Or it says that I want to go on a seeker's journey and see what else is going on in the world around me. What we'll be talking about today is what happened to Jessica. And Michelle will be happy to share the story, but we're not going to give it away. So, yes, this show will seem really elusive, but it's really about checking out the book. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me again.
Michelle, I love this book, the second one. And just as I said, we don't want to give it away, so we're going to be elusive. But it's truly about going on a journey of seeking, don't you think?
Yes, and the whole series, actually, now that I've completed the third book, too, I'm seeing it is really going on a journey because it really, where Becca, the main character, starts in the first book and where she ends is really a different place. And this middle book is kind of part of her starting to step into her power, really, is what it is.
Right. Yeah, and you know, when we talk about stepping into your power, a lot of times people say these days, I really don't know what that means. And sometimes it's about gathering inspiration from different things in your world. It's from maybe finding you're working and dabbling with herbs and teas and potions. Maybe it's saying, I'm seeing something and I'm going to stand up and investigate it more. Or maybe it's truly about saying, what is my truth and what is it not? Don't you think that's really what power is all about?
Yes, it is. I think it's really all of that can be. And in her case, it's really about her finally, I guess, in a lot of ways, growing up and taking responsibility for herself. And in this middle mm-hmm. book in particular, it's really, you know, I mean, okay, so there's a paranormal element, supernatural element with ghosts mm-hmm. and the haunted house. The whole series is really about, you know, haunted house and ghosts. And I'm a big believer that ghosts and all of those horror creatures, zombies, there is no zombies in this book, but, you know, vampires, mm-hmm. also no vampires, but I'm just saying all of the horror creatures are really representative of what's happening in real life. So ghosts, I mean, we all, regardless of whether or not you believe in actual ghosts or not, we all have ghosts. We all have things in our lives that are haunting us, that we can't let go of, that continue to haunt us. You know, relationships that didn't end right or feel unresolved, or businesses or careers or whatever. So that's what this is. She has to actually remember. Part of this book it is a literal, there are ghosts, and then there's also the figurative of what ghosts actually really mean. Which means that something is unresolved in her life. And in her case, she doesn't remember it, so she has to go on a journey to remember it.
And I think sometimes we say, is that really quick? Oh, I'll just read this story and it'll fix me. I will go to have therapy and that will fix me too. Or I will go out and maybe find some kind of guru that will be able to put things back together. I think sometimes when we say that, when we go on a journey instead as a seeker, we're really finding out so much more about self and how the life really goes along as a golden thread versus saying I'm going to stick up my finger in this dam because it's really causing me some discomfort, don't you think?
Yes. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense because people, you know, there is an emotional journey as well. I think people don't honor the emotional piece of it, I think then that's going to be a problem as well. And they are going to feel like they're sticking their finger in the dam. So you have to actually honor that emotional journey on top of it.
Let's talk about how ancestors, lineage seems to play out. A lot of times people say, are they ghosts? Is that my father, my grandfather? Who is it that passed away? You know, a lot of times people would share stories about angels with me or ask questions about that. As you know, I tend to be able to see both dark and light figures. And when you have that sense and you've experienced that once, sometimes it registers as fear meter. Second time you're going, okay, and it kind of freezes you. Third time you're going, hey, let me go see what they have to do, and you almost want to follow them down the path. So I think sometimes when we say, what is going on in your life that's showing up that you might have fear with? What is maybe freezing you in its path, or what maybe is taking you on another journey? It can be almost anything from, you know, ghosts all the way up to angels, all the way up to a sense of something that just is just drawing you in and you almost get obsessed with it, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I think all of that can be the problem. And I think that usually, at least for me too, I think it starts with fear. So I think you're right. I think that's kind of the opening step.
Yeah.
And then from there, if you choose to move through the fear, it can then open more, it can open up other doors. But you have to move through the fear or you're just stuck in the fear part.
I almost see fear as a veil. Do you know what I mean? You know, like when you see a ghost, it's sort of like you've got to walk through the mist, you know, to get to it. It's almost like there's always this little piece that's right in front of you, almost like the smoke, you know, of a sage bush or, you know, somebody, you'll see cigarette smoke in the moonlight kind of idea. And when you see that veil, I think that sometimes that brings your attention. And it always has a message too, don't you think?
Yes, I am a big believer in that, and I think there are so many different levels because you have to, you know, feel the emotion of fear, and then you have to
listen
to the message as well, so because there's always a message in there, and sometimes a message you don't understand until you've actually gone, you know, the only way out is through type of thing.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like all of your senses are engaged, though. You know, I noticed the other day, I said, gosh, who is really trying to get to me? Because I can smell like cigarette smoke as if it's sitting in my hand. It was so strong, and it was just like for days on end. And I never quite got an answer, but I'm sure it'll come back again. But it's sort of like when you're engaged in that, you'll start to be able to attune your senses to this, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. You know, you might be amazed at what comes out. I haven't smelled the scent of cigarette smoke, but I can imagine.
Oh, so strong. Yeah, it's crazy. It's like really strong. Oh, gosh. You know, and I love your cover. You know, you have about the candles on there, and that's also mentioned in the book. I think back to, it was probably about 2 months ago. I was looking for something specific, and I went into the store, and they didn't have it. But they had white candles on sale, and I bought like maybe about 50 of them.
Wow.
And I'm going, okay, I don't know what these are for, but I'll set them to the side. And then just recently I'm like, I've been looking for a candle holder to set them in, and I'm going, okay, this does not make sense. I bought 3 crystal candle holders, and they will not fit. It wobbles. It's a taper, and it wobbles in it, right? And I said, okay, so what's the point here? The other day, I finished a bottle of olive oil, and it had one of those rubber stoppers on the top.
Oh.
And I said, oh, it wasn't meant to be a crystal holder. It was meant to go into this bottle. And if you think back, you know, sometimes on a long time ago, wouldn't you, I mean, I'm in my 60s. I remember doing this when I was in high school. You'd have the Coke bottle or whatever. You'd put the candle in the middle, and you would melt crayons on the outside. It was the craziest thing because you would get all those colors of wax all down the bottles. They were actually selling them then, you know. And yeah. So I said, oh, so you want me to remember to put a candle in the bottle, and I'm sure some other messages will come later for it. Isn't that cool how life plays it out?
Yes, I agree. And it's funny because I see that, too, when I'm writing the books, because that's where it reflects back to me, that a lot of times I'll be starting a book or I'll be in the middle of it and I'll think I want to go one way, and then my muse is very strongly saying it should go another way. And I do listen to my muse, which is always good because at the end, my muse is always right. I'm always amazed at how it all comes together.
Right. It's almost like you have to sit back to allow it instead of creating it yourself, don't you think?
Yes, you do. You have to allow and surrender and let other things that are smarter than you be in charge.
Yeah, it really has to show up. And it's like that olive oil bottle is sitting there waiting for me to just trim around the top so that candle fit in perfectly. And I'm going, oh, okay, so we'll take the others back. Don't you think also, too, Michelle, that sometimes our fear can take us on a journey?
I think fear always takes us on a journey. It has for me, because I've that's been, you know, worry and anxiety has been something that's really, that's fear. That's just kind of fear turned inside out. That's always, that's been something that's haunted me. Mm-hmm. And yes, when I finally relaxed, surrendered, and allowed myself to start moving through it, I don't really worry anymore. I cured myself from my anxiety because I felt my emotions. I felt the fear. And it definitely did take me on a journey.
Yeah, and I think sometimes when we can take the fear and say, what does it feel like? And once we can describe what it feels like, then we can give it words. It's sort of like fear feels like pressure.
Yeah.
It feels tight. It feels hot. It feels like it's going to suck you on in. And fear might feel sometimes, you know, like drifting away or being lost. I think when we can give it words and define it and really more or less immerse ourselves into the feelings that we're trying to express, that's really when we start to sense and be able to feel something next to get to the next spot, don't you think?
Yeah, with me, fear feels like a crushingness, like like my chest is in a vise. And there have been times where it's been so strong, I felt like I was going to die,
right.
even though I really wasn't. And I remember having to really focus on my breath and almost like forcing breath in my chest. So yeah, so very much a pressure, a crushing pressure.
Mm-hmm. And I think, don't you think, sometimes when people say, I see a ghost, I have a sense something's happening, that fear, I always say go into fear with your eyes wide open, because then you could see what its truth is. You know, sometimes when you go into fear with your eyes closed, you know how you get scared and you close your eyes?
Yeah.
You might miss the whole, you know, the whole journey. So if you can go in with your eyes wide open, wow, what might you see? You know?
And just keep and be aware and allow it to really unveil and show you what it wants to show you versus resisting, which I think the eyes closed is kind of a resisting part.
Right. You also talk in your book, Michelle, about you know, different little potions and things, and I think it's so cool. When we talk about let's say a potion that might have some mystical or magical powers, it's really about the intention that you put within them. You know, I saw something the other day on television, and it was a shaman woman, and she was using an egg to be able to remove and release things from someone and to provide them protection. You know, people said, that's strange, I don't understand it. But what she was really doing is she's using it as a conduit to be able to bring along the intention. Do you think sometimes we we say I don't understand things or anything, it's sort of like I can put down some I could put down some orange tea for one person and say, oh my gosh, you just love this, just give it a try. And my intention would be that it would help them feel well. I could give someone else the same orange tea and I would be in a rush and I would just throw it down and walk away. And they'd be like, I don't like it. This is no good. So don't you think our intention also comes along into what we're doing?
I do, and as well as our perception. So yes, both intention and perception, I think are tied very tightly together.
And that's important too, because when you start to delve into seeing the world for more than we actually used to, when we can change our intention and our perception, that's really where the magic might seem to be. And I almost call it alchemy. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is. Yeah, because you're right. If we can change our perception, we can change our entire world.
Right. And we'll all be dancing mystically along the way. And it's interesting.
Hopefully.
You know, it's so interesting because, you know, I said to someone the other day, I said, do we really believe that life is really just fast food, daycare, and, and hot yoga, you know? That was not what we were meant to be, you know. It was sort of, what do the plants and the trees and the animals and the energy have to tell us? Where is the weather going? What does the world mean when it has an earthquake and a volcano? And, you know, what are the stars all about? Do you think that really they're asking, do you think a star is really asking, can I go to McDonald's tomorrow? I don't think so, you know. it seems like such a divided line. It's like, how did we get so lost, right?
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. I think we do need to take get back into the mysticism of everything around us, and I think stories can really help us do that. Because you're right, it's so easy to get lost in the day-to-day to-do list.
Right. I think it's more, there's so much spiritualism coming up again, too, and I find that when times get really tough, it's about saying, you know, how can we continue to have faith and hope? How can we continue to know that there is still good in the world? And how can we continue to just believe in all that shows up? Sometimes when we hear about things that are happening and people's misfortunes or an accident or something that's really not great for people, we say, where is the faith? You know, I can't have faith anymore. Look at what bad things happen. But maybe those things just had to happen to make room for something else. Or maybe it was just something that was in the ethers, as we would say. You know, in other words, it was meant to be already. Don't you think that we can not say that we have control over things, yet we can just be with what's going on?
Yeah, and surrender to what just wants to unfold instead of fighting it always.
Right, because, you know, we want to always be able to say, oh, but if I prevent it and I do everything I can do, you know, then it's going to hold it off. You know, I did a show the other day on death, and they were talking about how to have a good death and how to have this, that, and the other, and you had to have all these things in place and everything. And I said, but isn't that really just an illusion that you're concocting? Because death is 1 second to the next nanosecond. Death has nothing to do with all of that other stuff. It's just you put that label on it. Don't you think sometimes when we are going through life and we're saying, I'd like to start expanding and seeking on things, and people start saying, well, you don't want to do that. That doesn't sound right. You don't want to go there. And it's almost like they're putting up a wall because it's their own fears, don't you think?
Yeah, I think a lot of times it is their own fears. And people are, you know, they project onto you what they are seeing. So, yeah, I absolutely think that.
Well, Michelle, it is such a pleasure to talk to you about your books because I absolutely love them. You know, this is our 2019 summer read. You're the pick. It's the number one pick for this summer. And I think that this book, This Happened to Jessica, the second in your Secrets of Redemption series. And I love it because I sat down and I just started reading and you just feel like you're in the space, in the moment, And it just takes you on such a journey. So I think it's a wonderful summer read.
Oh, thank you so much for telling me that. That means so much to me. I appreciate that.
Well, Michelle, can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you and also about your first book that's already out last year and your next one showing up hopefully soon?
Yes. So mpwnovels.com, and It Began with a Lie is the first one. And all the books are on there. Plus, I have a blog, like a book and entertainment blog that's got reviews. And I even do some ghost hunting. So I have a Riley Longhill. She's my fictional alter ego. And we go to actual real-life haunted places. But then I fictionalize it so the ghosts show up because, you know, the ghosts don't always behave.
Exciting. Well, Michelle, it was such a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
If you'd like to find out more information about Michelle Pariza-Wasek, again, her book is This Happened to Jessica, please do check out the link on the bottom of today's show page, and you go directly to her website for more information and her blog. Also, check out her events and see about her ghost information. The books are absolutely wonderful. It is a great summer read. I do suggest starting with the first book, and then coming up to this book as a second book. However, either way, it's just fine. I'm sure you'll be guided to which book would be best for you, but it's a wonderful read. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.